At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. We have a special treat for you. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Lance Allen from WTMJ up in Milwaukee. And we are going to preview the Wisconsin Badger Brett Bielema Fighting Illini game that's happening this week. That Coach Bielema is doing a wonderful job of trying to divert every bit of attention to himself away and focus on the game. Lance, you know, we were talking, you were one of the people in the stands when Barry Alvarez started the journey that made Wisconsin go from laughing stock to arguably the second best team, you know, in battle with Michigan year in and year out in the Big Ten. What kind of journey was that for you as a fan to watch that team, you know, go from teddy bear to polar bear on steroids?
It was pretty crazy, Mike, because being a Wisconsin graduate, you look at my first year was Barry's first year, where they won one game and, you know, the stadium's half full and we were chanting "We came to see the band" by the early to mid third quarter, because usually they rolled. But and it sounds almost so much hindsight that you don't believe it, but to me it's true, is that you could tell though that there was something different about Barry Alvarez. And yes, they had some years of success under Dave McLean, but it had been so long since the Badgers were a factor of any type. And even though they only won one game in his first year, the next year when they won five in 91, it just seemed like, holy smokes, how did they do that? And then they just kind of kept building. And I think that's why, for longtime college football fans and longtime Big Ten fans, the reason why that Rose Bowl after the 93 season, so, you know, January 1st of 1994, why it was a sea of red out at Pasadena, is because people in this state were so hungry for any type of winner. You looked at it, Mike, and I know you spent some time in Madison. It was like, okay, the Packers under Brett Favre were getting better, 9-7, you know, in those early 90s years and stuff like that, but not quite there. And you look at the Bucks, and they were competitive, but kind of just a, you know, average run-of-the-mill team under Del Harris. And the Brewers were competitive, what, under Phil Garner in 92, and here and there a little bit, but whatever. People were so hungry for a winner. I would argue that nobody had done really much of anything in the state other than what? I mean, like the 82 World Series Brewers, which they lost. Yep. And the Packers made the playoffs, you know, once, you know, in the 80s, and, you know, and, you know, had the 10-6 season in 89. And I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent on all the teams, and the Bucks obviously had a good run in the 80s because they could virtually never get past either the Celtics or the Sixers. And if they got past one, they didn't get past the other.
Right.
So long story short, I mean, this state was just so hungry for a winner. And when the Badgers went to Pasadena, it was a virtually impossible ticket to get. 80% of the stadium was red. And then when they won that game, the legacy of Barry Alvarez was almost cemented there. And then when he took them to back-to-back Rose Bowls with Ron Dayne, and they did what they did back then, I mean, then he became, you know, King Barry, the living legend, whatever you want to call him. So for me, because I have the prism of history, yeah, you don't condone, you know, mediocre play in the field or this or that or whatever. We can still critique and criticize and whatever, but I do often caution people to say it's pretty incredible what they've done over like a 30-year span for the most part.
Yeah, incredibly scary if you're an Illini fan. I think they were very similar to Illinois, you know, in 83 when Illinois went to the Rose Bowl, but they didn't win it. You know, Illinois had not really had any luck as a state. You know, the Cubs had had the collapse of 69. Really, it was the Bears of 63 that was the last title thing. All of a sudden, you know, you get the Fighting Illini going to the Rose Bowl. Then all of a sudden, the Cubs made it to the National League Finals, only to have that ground ball go past Leon Durham against the Padres. I thought, no, it was that. Was that the Padres? Gosh, it was such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Get into the first round of the playoffs. And then you had, of course, the Chicago Bears took over with that 85 wrecking machine and the Mike Ditka show that then kind of took care of the rest of the 80s and then handed off to Mr. Jordan, who dominated the 90s. But there was a 20-year period there where the whole state was just a disaster from a sports standpoint, that Illini team changed around. And then, you know, if you look at it, it's almost add 10 years to the pain. And that's what the Badgers came through. And the only difference is, you know, Barry's probably, I'd have to go back and check the record books, but is there another Big Ten coach that's went 3-0 in the Rose Bowl? I don't think so. I don't think so either. Yeah, I mean, that's just amazing to go out there and win, you know, that game three times, you know, Woody.
He does have the one blemish on his record because the coach of the Illini, Brett Bielema, bolted for Arkansas, and then Barry was, you know, the interim coach for one of those Rose Bowls. So, you know, he didn't win them all, but that was obviously, to me, that was a little bit of a weird, different circumstance. Yeah.
We'll give him an asterisk to that one, you know, because winning three of them is pretty impressive. So Illini fans are excited. The defense is really tough this year. They actually have a quarterback that can get the ball out to wide receivers, which is a change. When we look at that defense by Jim Leonard, you know, a guy who's got people across the country looking to get him to come and be a defensive coordinator, at least in the NFL and in NCAA. What do Illini fans have to look for against what is a pretty fearsome defense?
I don't know. You know, the thing that's weird, Mike, is, you know, they have played very well defensively under Jim Leonard. And for the most part this year, they had played very well defensively. Like, you even go back to the Washington State game that they lost, and I wouldn't necessarily pin that all on the defense. You know, I'm sure there are a few things they could have done better and whatever. But still, if you hold the opponent to 17 points at home, more often than not, you should win that game and things like that. But that's what's puzzling to me, to see how this team bounces back. And a lot of times this is where Jim Leonard is really good at adjustments and, you know, motivation tactics and making sure that those guys are, like, you know, dialed in and whatever, because they rarely have back-to-back bad defensive performances. And I don't think you can sugarcoat it. You know, they did not play well on any side of the ball, but they really didn't play well defensively, because it was 21-0 before the first quarter went over, you know. So, and that you don't see out of a Jim Leonard defense very often. So I have a feeling he was probably breathing fire, and he let his guys know that all week. And I would be shocked if it was back-to-back bad defensive performances. But that being said, on the flip side, obviously they do have some warts. They do have some issues and some deficiencies. And, you know, Illinois could probably take advantage of certain things. I think, you know, missing their top cornerback, Alex Smith, so far this season has hurt. And I also think that losing Hunter Waller, that they counted on at safety, has hurt. So it's kind of thinned out the secondary. And some of that was evident against Ohio State. They kind of needed all hands on deck, and and they got caught shorthanded.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question, because as an Illini fan, I look at that game, especially as somebody who's watched has been kind of a recruiting, fan of just kind of paying attention. And that game is what happens when you have a bunch of four stars and a few three stars playing a bunch of five stars and some four stars. So I looked at that as saying, okay, this is the one team in the Big Ten who can outman anybody. I don't care who it is, even Harbaugh's team. And I get a little worried because Illinois is a bunch of three stars with a smattering of maybe a four star here and there. And I'm like, yeah, this matchup looks on paper to be a tough one for the Illini, because at least coming into college and then looking at accomplishments since they've been in college, it's hard to say that Wisconsin doesn't have the advantage, just like that Ohio State team with, Ryan Day. Look, I mean, who knows if he can really coach football? I mean, when you get your first job is the Ohio State job, you're the proverbial guy who started life on third base and thinks he hits a home run when he scores. He very well might be a fantastic coach. I just don't know. But to me, I'm a little nervous because that Jim Leonard defense, they had a rough night, but there's a ton of talent on that team, and they've got to have a chip on their shoulder that's the size of, at least the size of that little ski hill up in Wisconsin Dells, that they're gonna want to drop right on the Illini's heads. Who do you think the players, when Illinois is game planning, who are they going to have to game plan for to make sure on defense doesn't blow up what Illinois is trying to do on offense?
Nick Herbig seems to be the guy, linebacker, yep. Very active. He's had some games where obviously he has, been in the backfield instantly. And, dare I say, the Badgers, as you well know, Mike, have been known for running backs, and they always put the graphic up, and rightfully so. They've had a lineage of running that are almost second to none anywhere. Offensive linemen, they've had a number of offensive linemen that have gone to the pros. But of late, if you are an athlete, and I know we're not talking recruiting, this isn't a recruiting show and things like that, but if you are an athlete and you look at that Badgers defense and you've either played linebacker or they tell you, hey, we could switch you to linebacker, you have to be salivating, because you look at what they've produced recently. You go to Leo Chanel, who's with the Chiefs, if you want to go super recently. And then, I covered Zach Bond when he was in high school, when he was literally like the, Robert Griffin III, Michael Vick, whatever, like he was as close to a one-man football. I love football because it's the ultimate team sport, but he was as close to a one-man team as I've ever seen, where he did literally everything for his high school team and like willed them to victories. And they said, hey, you're a great athlete, but you're not going to play quarterback. We would love to have you a linebacker. So guess what? Switch to linebacker. TJ Watt. I think you've kind of heard of that guy before.
Yeah.
But they've just had, and Jack Sanborn now is one of those guys that quietly went to the Bears, and now all of a sudden he's probably going to be in the starting lineup due to injuries, and he played great in the preseason. So they've had, Andrew Van Ginkel was with the Dolphins, and they've had Vince Beagle, who's bounced around a little bit and whatever, but they've had so many different linebackers now that have gone on to the next level that you go, man, they're almost like linebacker U of late. And they put a lot of their athletes at that position. So Nick Herbig is one of those guys.
Okay. Yeah. Cause as an Illini fan, the real excitement was watching Pat Bryant kind of come of age, at least for one game, at wide receiver, which all of a sudden now that means Illinois has Isaiah Williams, they have Pat Bryant, got Chase Brown in the backfield. At least Wisconsin can't put nine guys in the box. And they may be able to, Illinois has a threat. Now, whether they can pull it off when the game plays, that's a different, kettle of fish. But boy, as an Illini fan, we wonder, you know, will the team be able to move the ball? And Wisconsin has their typical solid run defense that they're famous for. So yeah. I'm assuming they're gonna stop the run, and then once they figure out that they've done that, then you know, if they accomplish that, it's gonna be a long day for the quarterback.
Yeah, it gets a lot easier when you can stop the run. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The only other thing that I will say is it's been, and maybe this dovetails into what's been going on offensively with the Badgers, but it has been shocking that oftentimes the way the Badgers won is that they dictated the line of scrimmage, meaning, you know, their offensive line, there is a reason why there have been so many guys that have gone to the NFL and played at level. It's because they've had road graders. Barry Alvarez might call them the big palookas or whatever up front. You know, you got to have those big guys up front. And they have had guy after guy after guy. And to me, it's been a little bit shocking this year that whether it was a team like Washington State that was like quick to the gaps and got in there and created havoc, or occasionally Washington State and Ohio State kind of push the Badgers offensive line around. And we're not used to seeing that. And same thing with the defensive line. I think they've had moments where they've been good, but then there have been other moments where you're kind of like, whoa, that's not quite the way I remember recent Wisconsin Badger teams being, where they more often than not controlled the line of scrimmage on a regular basis.
Right. And we're hoping to see that continue, but we're not optimistic. There is what we call Illini football fan PTSD, where the team starts 1-1 or 2-1, you know, in that range, and then ends up at the 5-7, 4-8 range. And it's just been a tough time. Actually, we were joking last week. We had former Illini coach John Makovic on. And to be real honest with you, a lot of us who are more of the real longtime Illini fans, we feel like Brett Bielema is the best coach that they've had since John Makovic. And you start thinking 30 years like that, that's a long time to wait for a good coach, especially when you compare, you know, Iowa hires Hayden Fry in 1978 and Kirk Ferentz in 2001 or two or whatever it was. And that's all they've hired over the last 40 years. And they managed to get home runs each higher. So we're happy to have Coach B there. Now on defense, Illinois has really, with Newton and Randolph on the offensive line and a good set of linebackers and several good defensive backs, they have been really probably one of the best Illini defenses in – gosh, you got to probably go back to the Kevin Hardy era back in the, you know, Simeon Rice back in the early 90s. So you're talking, you know, 30 year, actually back to John Makovic era. You're talking about a long time since Illinois has been that good. Do you think they can stop Braylon Allen, or do they just try to control him?
That is the great question. I would think, now they never really totally got back into what they wanted to do with Braylon Allen. I mean, you know, when you get punched in the mouth like that and you fall behind that quickly, you can't do what you wanted to do. And Braylon Allen is obviously a large part of what they do and what they should be doing, quite frankly. That was kind of, you know, crazy to me, was that they got so far behind that, you know, I don't even know if you can call it abandoning the run, but they basically, couldn't completely go to that. But that will be the key. Obviously, you've got Clay Cundiff, the tight end, who had played very, very well, was injured against Ohio State. And subtly, Wisconsin has had a pretty good tradition of tight ends as well. They've had a number of guys, whether it's Owen Daniels or, you know, I could go on and on and on with that position too, that they've had a number of guys play in the NFL. So Clay Cundiff was, you know, another guy that just really seemed to move the chains and be there when, you know, Mertz needed him. And that's missing now as well. Shimre Dike has appeared in spots, and I think they expect more out of him. And the incredible thing is that, you know, Mertz burst on the scene, as you well know, against you know, Illinois right off the bat in basically his debut. And then, you know, and it was that weird COVID era that everybody talks about, that things kind of got weird and they didn't play as well and this and that, whatever. And you thought, chalked it up to, okay, whatever. Last year, yeah, just very inconsistent, you know, just didn't know what was going on there, this, that, whatever. To me, it spoke volumes, Mike, that I think Graham matured. He was voted a captain. And that to me spoke volumes. Like I was that stuff like that. Like, you know, I know some people really get into the X's and O's and I can, you know, talk about some of that, but to me, I kind of observe, okay, what's the character of a person? What do others in the locker room think of that person? How are they viewed by the team internally and things like that? And to me, that spoke volumes that he's named a captain and guys kind of gravitated to him more this off season. And I will freely say that, you know, the Washington State loss, you can't pull that on Burks. Right. You can't put it on him. He played pretty well in that game. And he's not been the reason, maybe like that you could point to last year or previously or whatever, that is the guy that's cost them victories. I think he's been pretty good in most spots. And Ohio State, he was kind of put into a not so good spot or whatever. But I wouldn't pin the loss totally or wholeheartedly on him. So I think he's been one of the bright spots of the team so far this year.
Yeah, and like all quarterbacks, let's face it, they generally take more of the flack than they probably deserve. And they conversely probably get too much credit when things are going well.
True, Mike. But, you know, and you know the lineage of Badger football is, you know, arguably since Russell Wilson, this was the, and I'd have to go back and look. Pardon me, because I don't know what Russell Wilson's, you know, recruiting star rating was or whatever. But since Russell Wilson, arguably, this is the best quarterback the Badgers have had.
Yep.
And it clearly one of the highest rated quarterbacks that they've ever brought in. So obviously, at first, the expectations were probably unreasonable and sky high. But yeah, you kind of at some point have to see some production. And I think now we're seeing it. We're seeing a more mature leader that makes more wise decisions, better footwork, and has done the job.
Well, that's not making me feel better, I can tell you that much. we don't need to see a debut like Graham Mertz. Yeah, I'm all for him struggling. You know, Illinois went through a rough year last year. Brandon Peters was injured. Art Sikowski played. We found out after the season he had to have shoulder surgery, which really made a lot of us feel bad because sitting in the press box, you could see wide open receivers. And then at the end of the season, you're like, well, no wonder he didn't throw to him. He couldn't throw the ball 20 yards. So a guy open 35 yards downfield, he might as well be 35 miles. It didn't make any difference. And of course, so we tend to not, you know, at Illini guys, we'll criticize players, but at the same time, you got to be a little bit cognizant of the fact that coaches don't want these guys to become targets or have part of their bodies, you know, have a big red X on them for the defense to break. So how are the wide receivers for this team? You know, is athletically, how do you look at them?
I would put them in the good, but not great category. You know, like DK has had his moments, kind of like what I mentioned. But he hasn't been like the total game breaker that they thought maybe occasionally he could be. And then you've kind of got a mix of guys that, you know, they flash every so often, but then, you know, then they kind of disappear for a while. And I don't know if that's the product of just, you know, relying on Braylon Allen a lot, you know, or I wouldn't say rely on Braylon Allen too much because I don't think he's, you know, it's not like the Dane era where he just got carries and carries and carries and you wondered if he was going to wear out, and he never totally did. But he, you know, his tongue was practically hanging on the ground by the time the game was over. But yeah, you just now without Clay Cundiff, you know, somebody's got to emerge, and I would probably target DK as the number one guy to emerge if somebody does pop. But they've got to have more production out of that wide receiver position, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's where Illinois has played well at cornerback has been their defensive backfield's been strong. One question: have you had a chance to watch any of the Illini games this year with Chase Brown? I know that you obviously are focusing on Wisconsin for legitimate reasons. Have you had a chance to watch any of the Illini?
Yeah, just a little bit here and there. I'm not going to say that I've broke down all the tape and studied every tendency, or whatever. But I do like the fact that, you know, Brett Bielema, when he was with Wisconsin, and obviously it's different. Like, you know, Illinois has different players and a few different wrinkles, different things or whatever. But what is Brett Bielema? Ultimately, you know, the game comes down to who you are and establishing your identity. And ultimately, he was a defensive lineman at Iowa, so he likes a good, strong defense. And when the Badgers were playing very well and going to Rose Bowls under his tutelage, they had a solid, strong defense. And then, kind of like what you're hinting at, is they had elements of, you know, whether you had Russell Wilson or whether you had, you know, good to great quarterback play, you know, you had an offensive line that could kind of, you know, tilt the field in your advantage, you know, get things going, sustain drives if you needed to, but also score quick. I mean, you know, the Brett Bielema teams at Wisconsin would put up 40 points on a regular basis. And who is their offensive coordinator? Paul Christ. So they really had a good thing going there for a while, where it just seemed like the defensive mind, the offensive mind, everybody was on the same page. And that was the reason why they had a good, you know, 4 or 5 year run there in the Big Ten with those guys.
Yeah, and we've been surprised that Brett brought in a coaching friend of his, Barry Lunny Jr. from UT San Antonio, who basically lit up the Illini like a Christmas tree last year. And what we have seen from this Illini is some RPO. We haven't expected the run-pass option quite so much. And we've seen a much quicker pacing of hustling up to the line and calling plays. So it's been a little bit crazy because, you know, Brett Bielema has always told us that we're going to control the ball, we're going to do certain things. And then they come out and I'm not saying that it's UTSA, but he's proven to have a little more flexibility than most would have judged him to have. Well,
and it depends on who's pulling the trigger. Like when he had Russell Wilson, that was kind of more their style of offense was score. They expected to roll the ball out there and score 35, 40, 45 points a game. And they routinely did. They were one of the top scoring offenses in the nation. So yeah, to Illinois' credit, you know, the quarterback has gained trust in Brett Bielema and vice versa. And they feel like they can run that offense, run the offense that way, up tempo, keep the defense on its heels. And you're mentioning something that's near and dear to my heart is we've heard about RPO or run pass option with the Packers for years with Aaron Rodgers being an intelligent quarterback where he can change. The coach gives him the ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage and go with what he feels like is the best matchup based play. And it sounds like Illinois is kind of doing the same thing. So they must feel fairly confident in the, you know, the knowledge of the playbook, the intelligence level of the players involved and just the ability to make adjustments on the fly.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. How are the special teams for the Badgers this year? I know Illinois has had a punter who is following up with Blake Hayes, you know, over the last 4 years, Australian punter, and he has struggled trying to get a little bit more standard punting style versus the Australian rules, kind of roll out and do the three-quarter kick. And so Robertson has had some challenges this year. And the kicking from the standpoint of the, you know, kickoffs, extra points, field goals started off a little bit, you know, cold, but they've actually, you know, basically Griffith has kind of come back. So right now we're hoping to see Hugh, you know, get that punting form down, but it's not quite. Illinois fans have been, the only thing we've been spoiled by is we've had excellent punting and kicking for the last few years. That's about it.
That sounds like a 4-7 team, Mike. When you,
yes, it does. So yes, it does.
Punters.
when you're enthused, you know, hey man, we just kicked the ball 47 yards with a 1 yard return. Moral victory. That was where Illinois was. How do the Badgers look in that this year?
So we've kind of made some jokes, you know, in the state, probably at the Badgers' expense. But you know, how the Packers for the last few years have had special teams gaffes and it basically cost them against the 49ers last year. We've made kind of jokes about how the Packers should loan Rich Bisaccia to the Badgers and just have him come down, you know, Highway 41, for those of you that are familiar with Wisconsin, yep. Make the drive down from Green Bay to Madison to fix what ails the Badgers. Because now it seems like the special teams woes and illness and sickness that was up in Green Bay has kind of gravitated to Madison, where they've had, the Badgers have always prided themselves on having pretty good kickers and, solid field goal, because a lot of their games, you know, tend to be close and they just win the little things. They win the turnover battle. They win the field goal battle, and that wins you games. And so their field goal kicking hasn't been great. And they've made a lot of errors on special teams, whether it's penalties or miscues or big returns or whatever. And that is an area that can tilt the field clearly in your opponent's favor. So that would be another thing that if you're going to say, hey, I think the Illini could win this one, it would probably be they win the special teams battle.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like this is going to be, I feel like the Illini have an opportunity. If it was at Champaign, I'd feel a little bit better. Then again, on the road last year, you know, they had the 9 overtime victory. How you manage to, go play 9 overtimes and win with 20 or 21 points is that's another rarity. But what are you seeing, if you had to prognosticate this, how are you seeing this game on Saturday?
I honestly think it's a pick 'em game. I think Brett is, knowing Brett to a degree from covering him and knowing him through the years, these are the games where he's got that little bit of chip on the shoulder and he's like, hey, we're going to go in there and we're not going to back down. And he kind of likes that. You know him well enough that he likes stirring it up a little bit and he doesn't mind. It's actually been a little bit surprising he hasn't said something to kind of stir things up or debate a little bit, because he's that type of guy. But yeah, I think the Illini are going to be prepared. I don't think they'll be overwhelmed. And then it turns into, okay, what team really, excuse me, I could feel like coming on. What team, kind of writes their season, so to speak? Because, yeah, the Badgers now have had, the Washington State loss was shocking because it was at home and that wasn't expected. And then the Ohio State loss was maybe shocking to a degree that they just were never in it and just got totally punched in the mouth and taken out of the game. So there's still plenty to be had in the Big Ten conference race, but one of these teams is going to sink, in my opinion, farther down the list or back to where they don't want to be. And the other team maybe is going to kind of right the ship and be a factor going forward. And I know it's early in the year and you can't base too much on maybe necessarily just one game, but I do think both of these teams are in a little bit of a precarious position.
Yeah. It's a tough one because Illinois turns around, plays Iowa next week, has a tough month overall. So it is there, that's the Big Ten now. Even teams at the bottom, there's just no easy games, maybe Northwestern if they're struggling, but for the most part, every week you have to have it strapped on or you could end up losing. And I know fans of other conferences don't really believe that, but there's a reason why teams like Penn State come into the conference, winning multiple national titles the decade prior. And been in the hunt very often since they got in the early 90s. And certainly Nebraska has had hard times when they joined the league as well. So it's a tough one. One last thing here is because we're about ready to wrap up. For folks who, enjoy watching you on TV, where can a fan find you so that if they're like, I need a little more Lance Allen time, what do they do? Where do they go to find you up at WTMJ?
I don't know if anybody needs that, Mike, but it's channel 4 up here in the old school traditional dials, as they say, WTMJ. And then I am on iHeartRadio up here in the area as well, 97.3. and we do Packers Live. If you really want to watch more content with Wayne Larrabee, and you know, Illinois people will know that name, and Dennis Krause as well. So we do Packers Live, which is on the Packers TV network. And so, yeah, a variety of programming, but most of, and then I also do the Spectrum Roundtable with Dennis as well in, here in Milwaukee. But the main, main supplier of my paycheck and the main outlet for my material is WTMJ TV.
Perfect. Perfect. So people go in and get it, tune into that. And of course you can also tune into the radio if you're driving. It is such a challenge nowadays when all the junk that's on the radio, it's nice when you can find somebody who talks sports and has a good time with it, and you don't have to get sucked into all the negativity that other hosts try to get involved with in radio. And I'll just leave it at that. So any final thoughts that you want to leave with the Illini fans out there?
Enjoy Madison. It's always one of the best game day experiences anywhere. Badger fans, they may talk a little trash, but you know, hey, we're Midwest nice, so it never gets that bad. Hey, the other thing I'll say is it depends on what part of the state you're from. Yeah, there's a little animosity toward Illinois, but there's also people in Madison, and you know it, Mike, that I was always shocked. You know, I grew up in the northern part of the state, you know, like near Eau Claire and Rice Lake, a little town up there. So it's about an hour from. So for me, it, you know, Minnesota was the rivalry, and it was delicious when the Badgers held the axe for 14 years in a row. I used to tease my Minnesota friends, is that even a rivalry anymore? If one team wins it that many times. So I was shocked when I first got to Madison in the early 90s, how much animosity there was toward Iowa, because you tend to forget, oh yeah, it's closer. And then, yeah, the border's close, so you have a little bit of Illinois, but there's a lot of people in you know, Madison that don't like Michigan either. So I, Illinois fans, Badger fans, they don't spread all their hate just onto you. They, you know, they may dislike you, but it's not like it's just solely Illinois. So enjoy the experience.
Perfect. Well, I know from when I moved up there, a guy goes, we used to call you guys from Illinois fibs.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That's a word that begins with F. I'll let you imagine, Illinois bastards. And they go, what did you call us? Well, I lived in the center of the state in Mahomet, Champaign. I'm like, we didn't really think about you. And the guy was so let down that he was like, you didn't have a name for us? And I go, cheeseheads? I go, we really don't have anything. And I actually won. Watching his crestfallen look, I actually won that battle. But it is something that Illinois, you know, in the 80s, when the football and basketball were both high on the hog, you know, top 20 every year, Illinois probably started to develop some people who didn't like him. And then the last 30 years on the football field, aside from an occasional, you know, high note, 2001, 2007, you kind of feel more sympathy for Illinois fans than anything else. So hopefully Brett Bielema will do the same thing for Illinois that Barry Alvarez did for Wisconsin. Because I can tell you again, as a Illini fan moving up there, I remember telling my dad at the time, this is not going to be fun. And as soon as John Makovic left, I was like, uh-oh, we're in big trouble now. Because you could see by that time what Barry Alvarez was doing, you know, with guys like Brent Moss and those early teams were just, it's like, man, how did he turn this thing around so fast? So we're hoping that Bielema can do the same thing. So we've got our fingers crossed. I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And we'll hope for a good game. We don't want to see any injuries of the players. Obviously, you'll be pulling for the Badgers. I'll be pulling for the Illini. But it is fun to have this rivalry mean something for the first time in a while.
Absolutely. And I always say that. I always say when two teams are fighting over the same piece of real estate, it makes the rivalry all the better. So I'm all for it.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Lance. We really appreciate having you on.
No problem. Anytime, Mike.
So thank you so much for listening to this edition of Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley and Lance Allen of WTMJ. We get a big thank you for having him come on. Please, as you listen to this, take a look at IlliniGuys.com. It is a site that will take you to everything about the Illini. We have Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, Matt Stevens, who follow the teams very closely. course, Brad's been doing it for 20 years, knows everything, everybody, Illini. If you are wanting to follow us and subscribe, that will not only get you access to all of our articles, but it'll also get you access to our message boards, where not only can you read some of the stuff, maybe the rumors and innuendos that we can't put as news stories because people will not confirm them, but you can also actually have interactions with Brad, Ked, Matt, myself, Larry. It makes it kind of fun. Plus, obviously, tons of other Illini and Big Ten fans. So please don't hesitate to join us. $99 a year, and you will learn an awful lot about what goes on behind the scenes with the Illini, particularly in football and basketball recruiting. Additionally, we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That is our two-hour radio extravaganza that plays on 20 stations and 30 signals across the state of Illinois. It is a ton of fun, and it comes out on Fridays or Saturdays, depending on your station. Check the IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see the city closest to you, what the frequency of the radio station is, and what time and day they have the show on, and listen to it. The only thing we ask you is if you listen to the show, please call up the radio station and tell them thank you. That way they know that listeners care about what they are putting on the air. And we also have, of course, other podcasts, the Eye on the Illini that you're listening to right now. You also have the Brad Sturdy's Sturdy for 30 and Kedrick Prince's Ked's Recruiting Roundup. And so there's a lot of fun there that can be had. Make sure you subscribe to all of our podcasts and hit the five-star review if you think we've earned it. And last but not least, we have BigSportsRadio.com. That's a Big Ten website that is free of charge. You can go there, you can sign up, and you can go into the message boards and argue with other Big Ten fans. And you also have all of the news of the Big Ten in one place, so you don't have to go searching for it across different websites, et cetera. And you can get the point of view of Rutgers. You can get the point of view of Iowa and Nebraska and all places in between. So it gives you a really unique look at the Big Ten all in one place. So with that, I'm Illini Guy Mike Kegley, thanking you for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. Go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.